This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we reflect upon the words of your Son, help us to see how we are blessed. Help us to do as the prophet Micah reminds us, to do justice, to seek kindness, and thereby to continue to walk humbly with you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Beatitudes. Books have been written. Courses have been taught. We had a small group Bible study that went on, I think, for 12 weeks to try to cover all the material. So as I'm reflecting on what I felt called to share today, I suddenly get this blurb from one of these religious news services to which I subscribe, and it says this: Pope Francis speaks to the priests and tells them, don't preach for over 10 minutes because after that it gets boring. So either I've got to talk really fast this morning, or I have to perhaps just give us some insights into this particular gospel. Now, to start with, we need to remember what Matthew is up to here, and also where in the gospel this appears. Remember, it was just last week that Jesus chose the first four of his followers. So this is not way into the ministry. This is sort of at the beginning. So that's important. But also, Matthew, as scripture scholars point out, does this comparison intentionally between Moses in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. Moses comes out of Egypt. He leads the people through the water, and then he ends up going up the mountain to get the tablets, the Ten Commandments. He comes down with those commandments, and basically the message is, do this and you will be blessed. That's Moses. Now we have Matthew with Jesus. We all know about the flight into Egypt. Jesus, as a young child, flees to Egypt with Joseph and Mary. We all know from a couple weeks ago that Jesus comes through the water as well, being baptized by John in the Jordan River. Then, just like Moses went up the mountain, he has Jesus with this sermon on the mount. And with that sermon, on the mount, he doesn't say, do this and you'll be blessed. He puts it right up front. Blessed are you when you do this. So there is this direct comparison in terms of him wanting us to understand this is what we're called to do. Now, I look at those Beatitudes, and every time I read them, I think, I'm nowhere close. Nowhere close. And it's important for us to take consolation in the fact that Jesus gives this sermon to his, at least those four, and the crowds at the beginning. Because I think he wants us to understand that this is something we are going to strive towards. And this is a promise that God is going to give to us. Because Jesus knows down the line, yeah, we're going to mourn. Yeah, we're going to be persecuted. Yeah, we're going to have to be pure of heart. Yeah, we're going to have to give mercy. And along the way, we sort of grow into it. I like to use the example here of, we go back again to the Old Testament. And, you know, everything's perfect in the garden. Everything's blessed. They have everything. God wants them to be happy. But God has a way that we're going to get that happiness. And what in that story of Adam and Eve do we hear? Well, they decide, no, God, you know, this ain't going to bring us joy and happiness. We got a better way. We're going to go to that tree, and we're going to be like you, and we're going to get to that happiness, but not your way, our way. And we all know what that leads to. It's sort of like this as well, that God wants us to be blessed in the most plethora of ways possible, and yet God has the way that that's going to happen ultimately and completely for us, and it's a little hard for us to accept that sometimes. We don't get it, and the world will tell us, this isn't being poor and poor in spirit, being merciful. No, that ain't the way it works. I want success. I want power. I want control. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not going to get it. So it's almost like sometimes there are those, I'm sure you've all gotten these. You're on social media or somebody sends you something and it says, if you can see the number 2 in this drawing, you are extremely intelligent. And what do every one of us do? We are going to stare at that thing until I see that too, because I am extremely intelligent, right? And what happens? When we finally see the 2, we can't unsee it, right? And I think it's that way with these Beatitudes, that we live into them. How can I be poor in spirit? How can I be merciful? And somewhere along the line, something happens in my life. Ultimately, the one is, blessed are those who mourn. God, how am I blessed in mourning this? But somewhere along the line, as we hang in there, the promise comes true. And God doesn't cause all these things, but God can bring blessing as a result. And when we get it, just like we see that too, we see the blessing and we can't unsee it. And we move on and we grow. And that's the call. The promises are there for us. When we think about these Beatitudes, you know, there's only one person ever who perfectly incarnated these particular teachings, and that's Jesus himself. Jesus' whole life was the Beatitudes. You know that saying about, I would rather see a sermon than hear one? Well, Jesus lives these. And we see what it does for him in terms of being blessed. We do get hints. We do have examples of people in our life that live it and give us that example to imitate, to emulate, to strive towards. I want to share one with you today. Many of you were involved when we did that 12-week series on the Beatitudes and St. Francis. And it led up to the pilgrimage that many of us were able to do to go to Assisi, to the land of St. Francis. Well, that study came to us from an organization that is headed up by a lady by the name of Christina Romero. I had no idea who she was, but we started a conversation. And we were one of the first churches that actually did this parish-wide. And I could sense her excitement as we were doing it. And then when we started talking about this is building up to a group of us going to Assisi, and she was all excited, send me pictures, I want to see. Well, the idea was after that, she was working on another series. And I thought, since this one was so successful, we at St. Joseph's are going to do the next one. And so I wrote to her when we finished the first series, and I got no response. I wrote again, no response. I wrote a third time, no response. Well, finally, the fourth time, she wrote back to me. This is what she wrote. Father Marty, I've been meaning to reach out. In August, my son's health took a sharp turn, and it has been a long 12 weeks of brain surgery and recovery. I'm his full-time caretaker as he can't walk on his own. He was having seizures every hour, but praise God, as of a couple of days ago, they suddenly stopped. I'm way more hopeful now as I write this that he will have a full recovery. Wrigley is the name of her son. She writes, "This has been such a trying time of faith, but I've clung to Christ and trusted in him, the divine physician. Needless to say, I don't have any release date for a new Bible study yet, but I look forward to what the Lord will pour out of me once he allows me to refocus on it." In the follow-up emails that we have had as an interchange, Christina continues to express the ways in which her faith has sustained her. As it turns out, Wrigley, her son, was suffering from something called cortical dysplasia. It occurs before a child's born when developing brain cells or neurons fail to reach the parts of the brain for which they're genetically destined. And as a result, those areas of the brain lack the appropriate neural connections to function properly. In the interchanges that we have had and in her Caring Bridge website that she updates things on, she continues to talk about the little steps forward that Wrigley has had, and in each and every one, she uses it as an occasion to express her faith, standing on those promises, continuing to show that these Beatitudes are something that we continue to strive towards. I assured her of this congregation's continued prayers for her, for Wrigley, her son, and for her family. It can sort of put us into an understanding of the things that really matter, that our God just wants to bless us completely, totally. It's just not going to be in the way we might think it's supposed to happen. Those Beatitudes, why does Jesus go through that at the beginning? I think he wants those disciples and us to have that in our back pocket. That at times, that's the only thing that's going to keep us going. No, there's a promise that God has given us, and God in the end is going to be true to God's promises. I used an illustration some years ago of back in the days when I was traveling all over the place with my job, but was also doing ministry work at the same time. And sometimes you make the mistake when you're on a long plane ride of revealing at the beginning of the plane ride who you are, especially if you're church-related, because people have a lot of strong things to say about that. But on this particular plane ride, there was a lady I was sitting next to, and she wanted to generally have a conversation. She wanted to talk about her relationship estranged from her son. And things had happened, and she was not able at that point to have a physical, one-on-one, in-person relationship with her son for 25 years. 25 years. But all she did that entire plane ride is talk about her son. This lady obviously loved her son. And it was back in those days before cell phones, when you had all of those photos in your wallet, in one of those transparent accordion things, you know what I'm talking about? And she started to pull it out. And as she pulled it out, that accordion of the photos sort of unfurled and it went all the way down to the floor of the airplane. There was so much she carried with her in her pocket that was special about her and her son. And I thought, remember that commercial, "What's in Your Wallet?" Well, we carry promises in our pocket, whether literally or metaphorically. Take these Beatitudes today with you, because you know what? You know what God has in God's wallet? He's got each one of us. Those promises, we might not see them right now, but when we continue to strive, as Micah says, to do the right thing, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, in the end, those promises will be fulfilled. May we know how blessed we are. Amen.
Amen.